Okay. In this verse, the word sura means those who's those influenced by the mode of material goodness, and asura means those influenced by the baser modes of passion and ignorance. It's a very clear definition. In Vaikuntha, both these classes of living entities worship the Lord. In fact, however, because the residents of Vaikuntha consistently worship the Lord, they are most exalted and are beyond all the modes of material nature. They are actually above the status of either demon or demigod. Because in Vaikuntha, then Hiranyakashipu, he worships Lord Nrisimhadev.
He's in Vaikuntha.
He shouldn't be in Vaikuntha. You wouldn't want him in Vaikuntha. You think the rents will go down if he's in Vaikuntha. Yeah, that's what it says. So they're beyond.
So what is he doing there?
Worshipping the Lord.
And then there's
Jaya. Oh, yeah. He's just there, but also, from what I understand, he's there also. In that form. But he's worshipping the Lord. So he might look like a demon, but he's a devotee worshipping the Lord. So that's what he's saying, is both the suras and the asuras are beyond the material mode. So they're all in transcendental.
So they don't dwell there.
No. Yeah, no, I'm just saying everybody's worshipping there. Yeah, there's no... In other words, when it says here the demons, they're not fighting with anybody. They're all worshipping the Lord. This creates for some variety. Next, Sukadev Goswami describes the Vaikuntha planets and their glorious residents, decorations, and airplanes. He tells of Lakshmi Devi serving the lotus feet of the Lord of Vaikuntha. He tells of the Lord's intoxicating personal features and of the pleasure he takes in the company of his loving servitors. He tells of the Lord's many associates like the personified Prakriti, Purusha, Mahat, and false ego. Because everything goes back to a person. It means, in other words, if the total energy is Radharani, right? So that means all these other aspects are all persons. Then there's a particular manifestation that we will call Prakriti or Mahatattva or like that. Just like the Vedas, they're all people. Yes?
So in the material world, they're impersonal.
Yes.
And in the spiritual world, they're all persons.
Personal, yes. Yeah, because it's just their energies is what's doing it. Yeah.
So there's no need for them to come.
No. It's just their energy that's good. Right. Yeah, so it's just like Brahman. Krishna personally doesn't have to manifest the world. Brahman does that. But he comes to associate, you know, to interact and all that kind of things with the devotees, to inspire the devotees. So it's the same thing. So what we can see here is Vaikuntha is very... very wonderful and all that, but it has that aspect of majesty in that the opulence of it, and that's the medium of exchange. So it's not that it's not wonderful, but it's just not as sweet as in Braj, where you remove that element of majesty. So the intimacy is much greater. So here it's wonderful, you know, intoxicating personal features, pleasure he takes in the company of devotees. So all that's very wonderful. But that formality, it's not as intimate, it's not as sweet. Right? So that's the difference. The 16 kalas, aspects of the Lord's own form that expand from him into the Mahatattva as the ingredients of creation. The five sense objects personify, the five sense objects personify smell, taste, form, touch, and sound. So the people. Everything's personal, ultimately. The six opulences personified beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, and renunciation, and many others. Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart, and thus in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love. He thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being, Paramahamsa, 11-18. Right, so everything's personal there. It's over here is that things aren't, because it doesn't take much to get it done. Does that make sense?
So there it takes a lot to make it.
Because you're talking about interaction. Like, how much of the man's personality, his intelligence, his dynamic, you know, like, does it take to take the garbage out? Right? Okay. But you understand, so it doesn't take a lot. You know, it's not like he's really, you know, working out here, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is it doesn't take much. It's just the impersonal aspects, you know, run the whole thing. But there's people behind it, but it doesn't take much.
Right.
Yes.
So, Lord with his devotees, he's always personal. And then between people, if it seems to be that they start from personal or impersonal, and then they develop, you know, like regular karmic people. So what is the proper way, you know, to develop Vaishnava relationship? Is it always personal, or is it mixed, or is it...
It'll start from wherever it starts. It means you don't know somebody, so you don't know. You've heard. It's basically what we use in this is name, form, qualities, pastimes.
Yeah.
That'll be the development that we'll use. Because first you hear the name, right? Then you connect the name to a form, then the qualities, then the interaction.
So interaction is the most intimate.
Yes, because that's what you're... Because all the other aspects are there. Because when in interaction, name is used, form is there, that's what you're interacting with. It's based on the qualities. You know, so everyone has a particular nature. So according to that nature is how you interact. You know, like that. So then it comes out. Yeah. So personal is, that's the natural state. It's only because we've taken, we means on one sense we're thinking it's personal, that I want to be the controller and enjoyer. But since we're not, then it's basically an impersonal, because it's controller and enjoyer of what? You know, it's just the Lord's energy. So that's impersonal. It's not specific. Then, from that, then that becomes specific as a Sat-Krishna. Right? That we have a particular taste for a particular kind of sensual or mental interaction. Right? So that's what keeps changing life to life. So what is there in the Linga Sharir, that's always changing. Because then you see the Stula Sharir changes to match that. But the Karna Sharir, if I'm the controller and the enjoyer, that always remains. Until we give it up. Right? So when we give that up, then we can function in the actual personal environment. Because here, it appears to be personal, but we're actually interacting with the particular qualities. You know what I'm saying? So it's, let's say, so they appreciate the Lord's qualities, but it's about the Lord. Here it's more, it's the qualities, and it happens to be this form. It could be some other form. Like somebody's nice, so anybody who's nice you like. So it's more about the quality than about the person. But there it's the person has these qualities, so it's the person that's important. And these qualities are just things that back it up. Does that make sense? So that's why there's the need of taking that time to get used to the personal idea. You know, just like, let us say there's a big festival coming up, or it's happening, and something needs to be dealt with immediately, something, you know, is not going quite the way. And so, in our mind, what will be the most important, the efficiency of making that necessary adjustment, or the people that we're working with?
The efficiency.
Yeah, you understand? So, therefore, the impersonal is always, for us, the prominent, not the personal. So that's why it takes time to get used to it. That's why Vaishnava etiquette and all that, it's kind of like, okay, it's nice if it gets benefit. Just like, okay, in the, you know, modern corporate kind of world, you know, they have some kind of discussions about being nice to people, or making them feel comfortable, or getting them to identify with the company, or, you know, giving them something that they feel, you know, special. So you're addressing seemingly the personal aspect, but what's the bottom line?
You get things done.
You get things done. So it's not actual personal. You know, in other words, they care about who's working for the company as long as they're working for the company and are productive, but they don't really care about them as an individual. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That would be considered more unique if you had, you know, you had a dealing with somebody, and, you know, years later you're still interacting, even though, let's say, you don't have that basis of interaction anymore. You know, say the guy was working for your company, but now he's a good friend, and he has nothing to do with your company, but you still have a relationship. That would be considered unique. Yeah, you know, so in other words, the material world, it's basically it's impersonal. Because the basis of I'm God, but how are we God? Do we have the name we don't have, the form we don't have, the qualities we don't have, pastimes we don't have? So it kind of leaves it as, you know, we're not the control. So Bhagavan aspect is kind of out, right? You know, Paramatma, we're not pervading and making it happening. So the closest we can get is kind of Brahman.
Because we always exist.
Yeah, we exist. So therefore it exists like that. You understand? So it's not a problem. The problem is just the being situated here. That's the real problem. So it's a matter of adjusting the consciousness, because it's not, it means, being, when I say being here, I mean by the consciousness. The place is just not as nice a place as the spiritual world. You know, it's just like, yeah. So therefore, it means here it's hot, it just is a disturbance. But there in the spiritual world, it gets hot, it adds to rasa, because then you can wear lighter clothes, make light drinks, get out the chamaras and the peacock fans, and, you know, make nice flower bower, you know, do all things that create coolness. So it's just hot enough to appreciate those things of coolness. And cold means it's just cold enough to appreciate the things of warmth. You know, wearing the nice chutters, you know, making fires, you know, the special, like in winter when it's colder, you can eat things you don't want to eat in summer, and vice versa. Like in winter, you know, if you're really hungry and I bring you a plate of fruit, it's not going to happen. But in summer, it's really hot, you'll appreciate it. You understand? So it's just enough that you get the flavor, that it enhances rasa. But here, it actually is a disturbance. So that's the whole thing, is that its design is different, but the principles are still the same. In other words, you can develop the personal elements here, because we're people, we're dealing with people, but we tend to not. So that's what takes time. It's just learning the personal element. Therefore, the Vaishnava etiquette is actually a lot more important than we give it credit. Because in the spiritual world, you're always dealing with people. You have to know the culture. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
This description is interesting, because everything we're dealing with or looking for in the material world is there personified in the relation of Krishna to us. So
yeah.
It's kind of it.
Yeah, well, it's like this. And we're saying is about, you know, and the fun part is you can explain this to a kid in that course. Right? Because for kids, everything's personal. Because
yeah.
That's the natural state of the living entity. Then with time, they learn to be skeptical and be impersonal. You know? So that's the funny thing. So, yeah.
It appears that this skepticism comes out as a result of interaction, and then personality always gives trouble.
Yes.
This personal aspect is that what we have to deal with, and then if there's no person, we throw them away, it's not trouble.
Yes, yes.
This tendency is always there, because this is the first, like, reaction, you know, just get rid of the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like, I'd never thought about it, but... Like those who keep pigs, they never give them names.
Yeah, because you kill them.
Yeah, kids will give them names, but adults won't give them names. You know, so like that. It's yes, because on the impersonal, it's more efficient economically and administratively. Because then if you keep it more impersonal, you can get it done. But if it's personal, then you actually have to consider everybody. And that you have to be quite qualified, actually. Because the thing is that it'll be said, oh, it's too much trouble. That's because we lack the qualification. But otherwise, you can work in such a way that it is. It takes longer, it's harder, but it does work. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj went from being emperor of the world to losing everything to back to being fully the emperor of the world. In history, you know, where do you hear of that happening? You know, it's very rare. It's very rare that someone's in that position, they lose and get everything back. Right? But it's based on how he deals with people. Right? So even Napoleon getting back into position, it's because of his relationship with people. Right? Mm. But that didn't last so long the second time. Like that. Yeah. Thus, the answer for the question asked in Srimad Bhagavatam 288, what is the difference between the Lord's body and the bodies of the living entities, is that even the greatest living entity in the universe as a material body is therefore dependent on the mercy of the Lord, who has a Satchitananda form, Srila Prabhupada explains. Both the Paramatma and the Jivatma, being transcendental to the material energy, are called Atma. The wrong conception of the Jivatma is to identify the material body with the pure soul, and the wrong conception of Paramatma is to think him on an equal level with the living entity. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore says that for purification of both wrong conceptions, the Lord presented his eternal form before Brahmaji. Being fully satisfied by Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging bhakti yoga, his transcendental form is 100% spiritual, and one can see him only by spiritualized vision after proper discharge of tapasya, or penance. Right, because the penance was, what was that? Very nice description. Here. The Lord's order descends in disciplic succession through the bona fide spiritual master, and thus, execution of the order of the bona fide spiritual master's factual control of the senses. Right, so control of the senses, that's tapasya. Right? But that means controlling the senses following the order. So that's why, on one sense, you can say Hiranyakashipu's and Hiranyaksha is tapasya. It's according to Shastra, but who's the guru that told them to do it?
Themselves.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So it's tapasya in that they're controlling senses, but it's not actually complete because they're not following the order of guru. And we see is that it's not for the transcendental, but even following order of guru works. Just like the demigods at one point were defeated by the demons. And what was the difference at the time? There was one common point where each was dealing in opposite way.
Offended
the guru, and the demons were worshipping and respecting Sukracharya. Simply for that, the demons took over heaven. Because the point is surah means you're doing things in the mode of goodness. Asura means passion and ignorance. So technically Indra, though he's supposed to be doing a goodness, he was acting in passion and ignorance. And the demons, though their intent was passion and ignorance, still they were following the method of the mode of goodness. It works. That's the whole thing. Saying, no, if your intent is wrong, it won't work. No, even the form gives benefit. That's the thing. If Krishna's form is it's his form that reveals itself. So that means the form of anything recommended has a potency. But now if the intent is right, then you can get bhakti. So we're talking about you want material benefits, facilities. These, you can get it from dealing with the form properly. The smartest, they're getting benefit. But they don't get prema. Right? When you combine the two, then it'll work. Does that make sense? So, therefore, anybody's doing something nice, saying, oh, that's just a show, he's doing all the Vedic things, it's just a show. Yeah, but it's a better show than, you know, a lot of the other shows.
Yes.
You know? So even if it's a show, better a mode of goodness show than a mode of passion. And you say, oh, no, we're being honest. Are we being honest? The soul is purely transcendental. So the soul identifying with non-Vedic principles and culture, how is that honest? Is that... Yes.
So if you're a person who's performing severe austerity, it's mentioned in the Gita, tormenting the body, it's
yes.
In the mode of ignorance, but he got the benefit because of the mode of goodness aspect.
Yeah, because the mode of goodness means he's following what Shastra recommends. He didn't make up his own process as such. You know, it means, in other words, the elements he didn't make up. Because if it didn't have potency, why would the demigods be worried when he's performing austerities? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that it works, it has potency. You know, that's the thing, is that the things recommended in the Shastra always work. But the point is what are you going to do with the results once you get it? Right? So that's the interesting element, is that at least the main demons, you know, they follow the Vedic culture and Vedic recommendations because they know it gets good material results. But their following it is only for that purpose. So if they somehow or another get distracted, then they won't follow. Right? Well, the demigods are supposed to do it because that's their duty. Therefore, that's the mode of goodness. So, at any time, if they take it up, right? And another time, that the whole point with Buddhism and Jainism were introduced because the demons were performing sacrifice, studying Shastra, performing tapasya. They were doing all these recommended things because it was asked to Sukracharya, why are the demigods so powerful? It says because they do these three things. And so they said, okay, you know, we'll do that, you know? And they did, and they became powerful. So that's the whole thing. You do it, it works. Right? You know, so like, let's say, like a smarta, we'll respect them as Brahmins. Not as devotees or self-realized personality, but as Brahmins. You know, the Mayavadi sannyasi, I think when we were in Kumbh Mela, the devotees, you know, made some comments. Prabhupada's point is, no, they're sannyasis. They're practicing the actual sannyas dharma. You know, they're misapplying it, but they're so you have to offer obeisances. You know, they're sannyasis. So like that, because you do have ones that do follow very nicely all the rules. So that's the thing, is the Vedic culture, the form of it, has value. Even if you don't understand why, or even if you don't apply it, you know, properly when you get the results. But it itself still has value. You know what I'm saying? But we tend to throw out the baby and with the bathwater. You know, it's just if something's wrong, everything goes. It's, you know, like the warehouse liquidation sale. You know? Everything goes. Does that make sense? So that's the difficult. We can't discern what is of value and what's not. So the point is that's you take what's useful, leave the rest. So that's the swan. They take the milk, leave the water. Does that make sense? So the swan would look at water and milk, take the milk, leave the water. We'll look at water and milk and throw the whole thing out because it's diluted. Is that something?
Yeah. I'm just thinking because nowadays devotees, they spend a lot of time on seminars on success.
Yes.
But the formula of success, according to this description, is very simple. You follow the right process.
Right.
Because the process is already there, given by Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas. You follow with the right mentality as a devotee, then you get both material and spiritual.
Yes, yes. But somehow or another, using these other systems, so the element of yukta vairagya, you know, is true. But the whole point is how do you get success without the blessing of the Lord? As Yudhishthira Maharaj makes that point, is that focus, endeavor, and dependence on the Supreme. If you have these three, then you can be successful. But this dependence on the Supreme, that's generally left out of most success seminars.
Yeah.
You know, because they think it's dope. Just you do it, you'll get the results. So it's just karma. But the point is still who makes the laws of karma. So that's the point is that when devotees are very committed to it and work very hard to satisfy Guru, all facilities there. Like that. You see, any place, any time that's what's going on, then everything was great, big. You know, just take something more recent. I was going to go back into the 70s or 80s like this, but take the 90s. You have one, you know, how you say, kind of the Sabara Adis place. You know? And so they're very much committed to Guru, very much committed to doing what he says should be done. How well did that zone do? It was amazing. They had hundreds of temples, they had this, thousands of devotees. Things were happening. When all around the world it wasn't developing, it was going on there. All the things that everybody says, oh, you can't do these now, they were doing it. Right? And great. And so then when you introduce then the more Western mentality, where then you throw in duality and all these things, then the whole zone just dropped. So it's directly visible. It's just whether one wants to accept that that's how it's working. So in other words, when tapasya is performed, you're following the order of Guru to the best you can to please him and the Lord, everything's opulent. And if you don't, it won't be. The seminar can show some of the technique, but the point is unless you are a successful person, how do you use technique? Just like I can tell you techniques in cooking, but if you're not a cook, you can't use them. You know, that's the whole thing. So, you know, in other words, cooking the thing, is it by minutes? Right? Because the cooks, you know, and then put it in the frying pan and saute it for, you know, 2 minutes. But is it actually by the minutes? Is it by the effect that you're getting? So I can tell some technique about 2 minutes to something, but they're still not a cook. They can get a result. Now, how will they get? How will the result come okay in 2 minutes? The situation has to be exactly right. The pan has to be, you know, the right pan. It has to be at the right heat. Even the vegetables. Let's take the vegetables. Let's say I got vegetables fresh from the field, or they've been sitting for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, one's dry, one's
wet. Yeah, so they're going to act totally differently. One you have to add water, one you don't. So that's the thing, is they won't become a cook. So you can have success seminars coming out your ears. No one will become successful. Because you have to have a cook. So if you have a successful person, then you can teach them. And even if you didn't teach them, they'd figure it out. It just takes longer, that's all. You know, instead of taking 10 years, they can get, you know, quite solid in 2-3 years. That's the only difference. So it's not technique. Technique's important, but why is technique important? Who defines the technique words? Still Krishna. It's Krishna's laws of nature, Krishna's modes of nature. You follow the technique, that means follows the modes, then it works. So again, it comes back to it's God's laws and dependency on God. So if that's understood, then people, one, will use their own intelligence to come up with things, because how many people do you need that are successful to make something successful? No, you just need a few of them. And if everybody else has that service attitude, they'll follow. It works, right? If you have one temple president who understands what to do, then he can engage 50, 100, hundreds of devotees, and they'll all be successful. Now, if you have more, better. But you only need one. So this whole idea is that, no, when everybody is successful, no, that's the whole thing. What they miss is MBAs are hired by successful people. That's what's missed. They think the MBA is a businessman. No, MBA is a very nice qualified Shudra that a businessman can engage, because at least he knows the lingo and has some, you know, common understanding of the field. But otherwise, there's no one ever says if you have an MBA, you know how to do business. No school will claim that. You know, so that's the whole thing. So the concept of being trained in occupational duties is fine, because that's when Krishna studies in the Gurukul. It's the number three thing that you learn. First is the sadhana and the etiquette and the practices. That's first. Second is shastra. Third is then specific for your nature, your skills. And then fourth are the arts. So one should learn all four of these. That's a complete education. So it's number three, but they make it sound like it's number one. But, you know, in other words, it only has value if you apply it through the Vedic understanding and based on the Vedic lifestyle. Because what they leave out is that if you want to be without the devotional thing, if you want to be successful, then it's, you know, the term dog-eat-dog is actually just being nice. Like that. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. His transcendental form is 100% spiritual, and one can see him only by spiritualized vision after proper discharge of tapasya or penance in pure bhakti yoga. Because that's the point, is that no matter what you do, seeing the Lord, now that's perfection of whatever you're doing. Getting some money from it, getting some position, getting some other thing, those are side things. You know? It's just like the residents of Braj, are they really, you know, they sit around and says, wow, isn't it so great we have a place to stay? You know, and it's eternal, it won't go away, you know. Is that what they talk about? No, it's always about Krishna. So those just come on the side. The form of the Lord manifested before Brahma is not one of the forms with which we have experienced in the material world. Brahmaji did not perform such severe types of penance just to see a form of material production. Therefore, the question of Maharaj Prickett about the form of the Lord is answered. The form of the Lord is Satchidananda, Brahmasamhita 5.1, or eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the material, so here when you say eternity, knowledge, and bliss, that would indicate that having knowledge means you'll be active. But because that's in the position of chit, right, or abhideya. Okay. But the material form of the living being is neither eternal, nor full of knowledge, nor blissful. Oh well. That is the distinction between the form of the Lord and that of the conditioned soul. He's Satchitananda, and the soul is material. So they look at it that there's a form, that's the problem. Right, the Mayavadis. But no, it's that what the form is made of is the problem. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a piece of paper with a face on it, right? And one of the pieces of the paper has a number with no zeros after it. And then another, basically exactly the same looking piece of paper, then has a whole bunch of zeros after it. Right? So it's not that it's a piece of paper, it's not that it has faces, it's not that it has numbers, it's a thing, it's a matter of what kind of it's. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, or Monopoly also has money, you know, and faces and numbers, you know, but it's not quite exactly what you know, not as legal tender as one would hope it to be. Right? Yes.
Form may come, and then you may observe a pastime, but sometimes you hear the Lord actually is personally conversating with someone.
But that would be pastime.
Would it be pastime? Like Guru Maharaj, it's a personal conversation.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, why wouldn't you call it pastime?
I don't know, it's just like communicating with.
No, but that's still, you have to interact, so even if it's small, it's still a pastime. That's why it's in Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam tells of the pastimes of the Lord. So that's one of them. So whether he's interacting with one devotee, whether he's interacting with a whole group of devotees, you know, it's just like there he's interacting with one. But let's say after killing, what was his name, Balmasura, like that, then he's interacting with 16,000 of the princesses, you know, and then thousands of these kings and that, you know. So you have both. So that's the point, is that Krishna, he is so unique, he can do all of this. Like most, like much of the time you have, let's say, in a conditioning, let's say someone can do an activity, but he can only do it if it's big. You know, let's say you're just arranging the arti, you can't relate to it, but if you're out, you know, a huge Janmashtami festival and things like that, and thousands of people, then they can arrange it. You understand? But here Krishna can deal with one person or deal with thousands. Like that. So that's the. Verses 19 to 30. The Lord expresses his satisfaction and Brahma inquires from him. The Lord accepted Brahma as worthy of creating the universe. Smiling mildly, what means, why was he worthy?
He did
penance. But let's say even Brahma's not a devotee. But that's the most important thing. But what is it that what has happened here that you could, the Lord could understand that he is worthy?
He
did tapasya. In other words, he followed the order of Guru. So, in other words, you're not worried that he's going to, you know, do some creation on the side. You know, just, you know, I was thinking, what if we do like this? No, he'll just create exactly as the Lord says. So that's the thing. The one who's qualified is the one who can follow exactly. Right? Using the intelligence like that. He was only told to pa. But he used his intelligence, used his, you know, his effort to figure out how to make that work. And then he got the benefits, and the Lord was pleased. You know, it's not that he said tapa, and then he said, well, how do you do tapa? Well, you sit down. Well, how do you sit down? You know, it didn't go like that. You know? Yeah. Smiling mildly, he mercifully shook Brahma's hand and spoke enlightening words to him, assuring Brahma that he was pleased by his servant's austerities and submissive attitude. So now, would this be a pastime? No, I'm just saying from her, but previous conversation. You would, okay. See.
Why would he do that?
Why would he shake his hand?
It's kind of.
You wouldn't want him to shake his hand?
No, for me it's non-Vedic.
Huh?
For me it's kind of non-Vedic. Usually, you know, whatever he does.
No, different. But what's the difference if you, how does in the Vedic, it means you offer respects, so namaskar, how many hands do you use?
Two.
Right. Now, when the Buddhists do the same thing, how many hands do they use?
One.
They just do one.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Because it's not Vedic. That's okay, now let's say you shake somebody's hand by the Western, you know, general standard. How many hands do you use? One. What if the person is a really good intimate friend? How many hands do you use?
Two.
See? So it's a matter of yeah, it means you take a hand, both hands. You've ever seen?
Yeah.
You'd have to see probably generally older Indian gentlemen or stuff to see it. Like that. But that's the whole thing. So it's a matter of expression of affection when you use two. So that's why two is proper. One is not, you know, like in an army, they just use one. But, you know, because it's formal, it's not affectionate. That is the whole. Okay. He mercifully shook Brahma's hand and spoke enlightening words to him, assuring Brahma that he was pleased by his servant's austerities and submissive attitude. Right? So the work he did and the attitude. Right? Because there has to be, that's why it always goes back to Prajumna. The attitude's not right, the whole system won't really work. Of course, if you don't have the proper knowledge, it won't work. You don't use the proper skill. You don't know what the goal is. But in here is that it's always that combination. Not that just because you work, you had to work. You know, that had to have knowledge and the proper attitude.
I think
wherever the Lord is, that is the spiritual world.
Yeah, I know. That's
just what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah. So wherever he is, that is the spiritual world. Because for him, the whole place is his. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, the man has, you know, so much land and this and that, but, you know, when his kids go out and play and they go out way in the back over in the corner and all that, that's their place. So they think it's theirs and that's all. But it's still his, and he can show up there if he wants. The Lord says, I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask for me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction as a result of all penances is to see me by realization. Right? So he mentions that. So now it's a matter of what will he take. The highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. And this has been possible because of your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. Right, so there's an order. He's following that order in a submissive attitude. So that's your prophet always mentions following the spiritual master's order submissively. Because if that's there, then the Lord is pleased. So that the perfectional ingenuity. So you're using your intelligence how to get something done, but it's how to get the order of the guru done. The Lord then revealed that it was he who vibrated the syllables tapa to set Brahma on the path of austerity. He states that he creates the cosmos by such penance. He maintains it by the same energy, and he withdraws it by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. And so the controlling of the senses and doing just what's supposed to be done, that's what makes everything work. Right? So that's the real success seminar. How well that would fly, who knows? But yes.
I was just thinking from the morning class that how well will it fly, it's a continuous effort.
It's a continuous
effort. So people, those who want to enjoy, then at some point we want to enjoy, we want to relax.
Yes.
But it seems to be very difficult to do that to an enemy, because then you lose a lot of importance.
Yes. So, therefore, it means that it's just on that, it's an interesting mentality, because we said it's mentality that really makes the difference. Now, let's say if you have someone who's from a very, you know, wealthy, established family, they've been wealthy for generations. So, is there an idea that I will make money and then I can sit back and enjoy?
No.
It is that vacations are worked in because you need them. You can't always work.
Yeah.
So, in other words, a vacation is part of the whole plan. So,
right.
It's not about enjoying, it's just necessary.
Yeah.
Well, for the others, then they're thinking that it is a goal. But for them, it's just a situation. So that's the difference. Successful people, being successful is a situation. For unsuccessful people, success is a goal. So that's why you can never get it. You understand? That's why success seminars on one platform are useless. On another platform, people think, they're inspired, they try to use it, you know, they get in, you know, they become active. So that's the good part of it. But they're not teaching this mentality. How do you teach someone to be secure? That's a state of mind. Therefore, that comes from control of the senses, knowledge, you know, following authority. It's a whole different approach. That's why we make jokes about these things. You know? Because the concept of educating yourself on how to better perform your duties, that's normal, that's natural. But thinking that just because one's learned a few tricks that's going to make it all work, that's the difficulty. It's not, it won't. Success is a mentality. Yes.
When the goal is success, you're not focusing on what you have to do now, right?
So this motive passion is there. And because you think that's what it'll be, then that's motive ignorance. And the problem is when you get the success, it comes back to Prajumna, which is the natural thing. Those who are successful know that whatever is your goal, it's going to become part of your situation. You know, but the thing is, so the goal, so they have other goals, you know, they want to be, how you say, you know, charitable, or, you know, protect the family, or, you know, these higher qualities will be the elements that are their goals. Because, say, if you're, does that make sense? You're taking care of the family, that protection of the family, or support of the family. Now, that's actually a quality of Krishna. That's something you do. Now, to be wealthy, you know, okay, it's a quality, it is his opulence, but it's actually a manifestation of, it's a feminine form, because you want to enjoy it. While the others, the focus is on the masculine. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, conservative is about following the rules, liberal is about enjoying. So they're very different in mentality. So, and this kind of stuff, if you bring this up, you have serious emotional meltdowns if you bring this up. It's kind of like that. Yes.
How is it that Lord Brahma understood this word, Tapa, even before he brought all the alphabets and all the notes?
I mean, it's not exactly like a little baby. Did we notice that he was sitting there on the lotus, and it took him a long time to, you know, first he, you know, had to crawl and all that, and then finally.
Faith from previous life.
Yes. Why does anybody do something? It's all from previous life. You understand? Anybody who's outstanding in anything is from previous life. I think Prabhupada mentioned, I think it was about Ravi Shankar. You know, he could play nicely sitar. He said that's 1,000 lifetimes of playing sitar. And according to, in the Indian circle, he's not that good. In the West, he's the guy that's known, so he's the top. But there are others better than him. So he's 1,000 lifetimes, so these others had to be a few more thousand than that. That's the point. Still, it's 1,000 lifetimes. You know, that's serious. There are 1,000 lifetimes focused on music. So he's good. But that's how he's that good. They practice 8, 10, 12 hours a day, the North Indians. No joke. I mean, they do that every day. You can't not do it. So what does that take? You can't just, you know, it just popped out of your head. So that's from previous life. Everything's from previous life. It's just a continuation, that's all. You can get an interest in a new area and cultivate that, and then, you know, after 1,000 lifetimes, you'll be good at it. Right? So that's why you don't want to get too distracted now.
Why do people do anything that it was 10 seconds?
If you're here from time immemorial, then what's 1,000 lifetimes? Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that long.
We better study. One lifetime.
Yeah. So that's why it's so special. We're being offered that in one lifetime you can actually come to the perfectional stage. Because in karma and jnana and yoga, it can't be done in one lifetime. No question. You're talking about thousands. You know, even Brahma Samhita mentioned millions, you know, doing the life errors and stuff. Then they still can't see the effulgence of the Lord's toenail. Not even the toenail. We're talking about just the effulgence that they can't see. So, you know, that's really not worthwhile. So by bhakti, then in one lifetime, you can see the Lord. So that's what's special. You know, it means, in other words, what we're being given is an opportunity we really don't understand. You know, it's like, let's say, giving a soccer ball sized, let's say, you know, ruby to a kid. How much do they understand? You know? It's nice, it's shiny, you know. Like that. Yeah, heavy. You can hit it, it doesn't break, you know. You know, interesting, you know. In fact, you can pick it up and drop it on things and it breaks those things, you know, so good fun. So that's the thing. We've been given this devotional service that we can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, the original personality of Godhead. You know, Braja Krishna in one lifetime, you know, and we're worried about, you know, cornflakes. But yeah. Okay. 19-24. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Lord says, I spoke at the beginning of creation when you were bewildered about what to do. Austerity indeed is my shakti. It is my heart. This means that I desire that the jiva give up enjoyment of material life, since that is favorable for bhakti. I will gradually take away the wealth from the person to whom I show mercy. Don't bring that up in the success seminar either.
No.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8. If that austerity is performed for attaining me, it is my heart, but not otherwise. So in other words, doing the same thing, but not with the intent of pleasing Krishna, then it's Krishna, it's not his heart, it doesn't have any meaning. Because austerity, what is austerity? You're performing your duty. And then who's the result of your duty for? Yeah, someone else, right? So how does Krishna, why does he do pastimes?
To please the devotees.
Please the devotees. So Krishna only acts on the platform of austerity. So he's only asking us to do the same. How will we have a relationship if we don't both work in the same way? Without me as the goal, austerity is without life, like a corpse. This is true for the materialists who perform austerity with the desire for material pleasure. Even though you have performed austerity with the desire to create the universe, because I have inspired that desire and that austerity is pleasing to me, it is actually performed without desire. Because he is the incarnation of the mode of passion. So that's what he's supposed to do. So it's by the Lord's potency that he's inspired in that way. So he's fulfilling the desire of the Lord. In his purport to verse 23, Srila Prabhupada confirms, therefore, only love and penance combined can please the Lord, and thus one is able to attain his complete mercy. He directs the sinless, and the sinless devotee attains the highest perfection of life. Right? So, and how does Bhagavatam give the definition of sin? And sinless. Yeah, so sin is away from Krishna. Sinless means in connection with Krishna. Right? So the meaning, and so the persons who are sinless, they have a particular lifestyle. Therefore, that's defined here as the pious lifestyle. So the problem with sin is that it's against the lifestyle of the spiritual world. So the fun part is that we'll accept certain aspects of the spiritual world, but not others. Right? Does that make sense? You know, we'll accept that, okay, they're not immoral, but we won't accept how they dress or eat or talk. You know, so the idea is that we accept the whole package. Otherwise, why would you want to go there? Why would you want to go to a place where, you know, they eat, you know, shukta shakati bhajis? You know?
No pizza's mentioned.
Yeah, no pizza's mentioned. Yeah.
What will we do?
Take birth in Italy, that's what we'll do. Probably better New York, but.
By now, probably it's introduced.
So okay, yeah, maybe they've gone back to making. Yeah, could be. The point is that it's there in the Lord's pastimes because the Lord's eating it. But it's not necessarily that in, you know, Brudgy's eating it. But the point is what pleases Krishna is what's important. You know what I'm saying? And so how will we learn that? Are we going to decide what to cook for Krishna? No. It means, who's in the kitchen? Yeah, Rohini. Because Mother Yashoda is like overseeing the whole thing. So Rohini's in the kitchen. Then Radharani goes in with her associates. So that means the general idea is going to be given by Rohini, then more specifics by Radharani. Then from there, then, you know, who's managing it, Lalita and others, are going to tell you what to do. Right?
Krishna, it's what varieties are just slipping through.
And, okay, and then, since Radharani's been cooking since time immemorial and never cooked the same thing twice, so the point is, okay, you slip the pizza in, now what? Now for eternity, then you won't do it again. How much variety can you do in a pizza? You know what I'm saying? It has some, but how much? The subtleties, it doesn't have that much subtleties, right? You're working with how many spices?
Three, yeah.
You know, not that you can't do a lot, but like in the Vedic cooking, how many spices? You know what I'm saying? So there's, you can do, but the point is we're doing that here. So part of his pastimes here is he's eating pizza. But we don't have to expect that Mother Yashoda is going to cook him a pizza. And if she doesn't, there's something missing. Because it's not about, see, because now what are we discussing? We're discussing the form, because we want to enjoy this form. So what's that principle? Enjoying the form means I'm the controller and enjoyer. So if it's about pleasing Krishna, then it's what he desires. He wants to eat a pizza, then we'll make him a pizza. But other than that, you know, it's like, you know, if Mother Yashoda says cook a pizza, we'll cook a pizza. But if she's not saying that, we don't say, well, what about pizza? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You understand? There's a whole different mentality. People get in and oh, but there. But if it's unlimited, then it can. That's all. What if? This is all Jainism. Jainism is what if. You know, it's not Vedanta. It's not Vaishnava. You know, it's not that we have a problem with pizza. The point is, what's the whole point? What's the motive? What's the reason we're dealing with it? So here, if the conditioning, what does Rupa Goswami mention? Right? In the process of deity worship,
offer the seasonal.
You offer seasonal or regional, you know, specialties. So pizza is a regional specialty.
Huh?
Yeah, but it's from Napoli. Real pizza's from Napoli, you know, it's that kind of thing. You know, and the fun part is, a real pizza is like a margarita. There's three actually bona fide pizzas, and that's it. So, California pizza technically is not actually a pizza. It's baked bread with a lot of vegetables on top. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so we take it in so many directions. So the point is that it's a regional thing. So if that's what we like to do, we offer that. It's there, but why is it bona fide? Because Rupa Goswami's mentioned it can be done. But to make this stand that no, we have to have that, we're Westerners, we have to eat Westerners, since when do Westerners and Italian eat pizza? You know, I don't want to shock anybody, but pizza's not, I mean, it's American. What's American? You know, what actually is American food? It's all borrowed from Europe, which is East. And most of the spicing that the Europeans used, they got that from farther East. That's why they were looking for for India. That's why in America, they're all called Indians. Because they thought they had gone to India. Why would they call them Indians? Columbus thought he was going to go from Europe to India. Instead of having to go all the way down and around, he had this big vast water, he could just go straight across. Because going around the Cape is very dangerous. Like that. So they just thought he could go straight across. They didn't know the Americas were in between. So that's when we got there, the people that lived there, you know, they called it America instead of India, but they called it America, but they were Indians. Does that make sense? So the point is, their spicing came from India. All these things that are considered unique and special, they came from India. Where did silk come from? Were the Germanic tribes wearing silk? Bearskins? Yes. Silk? No. That came from India. That came from the Far East. So everything that is of refinement is from the East. Anything good in the West is from the East. You know what I'm saying? So this whole idea that the West stands on its own is a very bogus position, very weak position. You can say we've made it ours, but how? Okay. In answer, Brahma acknowledged that the Lord knows the desires of everyone. Nevertheless, Brahma requested him to explain how he interacts with the material universes and how he is their source and resting place while always remaining transcendental to matter. Brahma also desired to learn how he himself could be instrumental in creation without becoming either conditioned or proud, right? Because you work with something, you become used to it, and you become proud at your accomplishment. Because you identify with it, and you think, I am the doer, I'm the one that gets the results. So he's worried about that. 25 to 30. In his purport to verse 30, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that the pure devotee is never puffed up with the extraordinary powers given to him by the Lord. It is possible that some extremely powerful personality, within or without the universe, may sometimes show more power than the Lord himself. Still, the pure devotee knows that this power is a vibhuti, delegated by the Lord. And such a delegating, powerful living entity is never independent. It's just like someone in a powerful position may get someone else to do a particular work. And so it appears that they're doing greater work than the person who authorized it, but they're only doing it on the basis of the power and authority of the person who The pure devotee is never puffed up like the non-devotee class of men who falsely think that they are God. It is astonishing to see how a person who is being kicked by the laws of the Lord's illusory energy at every step can falsely think of becoming one with the Lord. Such thinking is the last snare of the illusory energy offered to the conditioned soul. The first illusion is that he wants to become Lord of the material world by accumulating wealth and power. Then he is frustrated in that attempt. He wants to be one with the Lord. Because Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, even though the first dominating deity in the material world, and therefore able to do many wonderful things, he would never, like the non-devotee with a poor fund of knowledge, have the audacity to think of becoming one with the Lord. People with a poor fund of knowledge should take lessons from Brahma when they are puffed up with a false notion of becoming God. So it's never our power. That's why the element of dependency on the Lord is we're doing the right thing, we're making the effort, but even that ability is still by the Lord's grace. You know, so there always is that dependency on the Lord. So we see the main thing is not the skill, but the mentality in which it's applied. So then developing skills means you have to develop skills in line with this. So if you're cultivating one without the other, then, as it said, penance doesn't have any meaning to the Lord. Yes.
So the antidote to pride is reality.
Yes. But unfortunately, reality is not popular. Right. Verses 31 to 37. The Lord's reply, including the Chaturshloki. Verses 33 to 36. Oh, we're on this chapter. Oh. Okay. In this section, Srila Sukadev Goswami describes how the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, personally revealed to Brahmaji the Chaturshloki, the essence of Bhagavatam, in four seed verses. The Lord began his reply to Brahmadev, because he's asking him how he's doing everything, right? How he, where is it? How he interacts with the material universe, and how he's their source and resting place, while always remaining transcendental to matter, right? So how does he interact? So that's Brahman and Paramatma, but at the same time he's transcendental as Bhagavan, right? And then Brahma also desired to learn how he himself could be instrumental in creation without becoming either conditioned or proud. So how can I take part in this without becoming proud or conditioned? So that means you're dealing with the three aspects of Brahman, Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and you're going to do this by seeing the Lord in everything that you do. Right? Things that are directly devotional and things that are indirect. So, yeah. The Lord began his reply to Brahmadev by informing him that this knowledge about him is most confidential and is to be understood only in conjunction with devotional service. The Lord inspired Brahma with a consciousness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, "All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy." Right. So that's the thing, it's factual realization. So this is, but it's by Krishna's mercy. 31 to 32. In Bhagavat Sandarbha, everything's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
So that's by the Lord's mercy, right? The form of everything?
Yes. It's all by the Lord's mercy. That's why the whole point is about the attitude and following what needs to be done. If one doesn't like to do those things, okay, but then use the indirect method to connect it to the Lord. Don't think that I can separate it and do it my own way and the Lord will be pleased. Because he's already mentioned that to Brahma, that austerity without, you know, or penance without its connection to me, what's the meaning? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is these things. It's like let's say, okay, devotees get together and they have pizza. Okay? Why are they having pizza?
Because they like it.
They like it. And so the point is now they like it, so what happens in this atmosphere of liking it?
They have fun.
They have fun. And what is this fun? I mean, what's the dynamics of this fun? Yeah, they're associating, devotees are interacting, you know, pleasantly dealing, and all that. So in other words, because of that particular conditioning, it becomes useful in just creating interaction. But now, if Krishna's not involved in this, it still becomes useless. Because there's every chance that, you know, real pizza is actually something else. You know? is that what I'm saying? But the point is it's a basis for interaction. So that's the use of it. It's not that, no, it's, you know, it's standard, it has to be, it's devotional. It's that. No, it's not. It's just you're engaging your conditioning in the Lord's service.
Would it not have to go from indirect to direct to keep Krishna at the same time?
No, indirect means you're connecting it to Krishna. Mundane means it's not connected to Krishna. Indirect means I'm taking it because it's my conditioning, and then we'll associate, and then we're connecting that to Krishna. That's indirect. Right? So therefore, according to whatever's the conditioning, you engage that, you connect it. Right? You get a bunch of Bengalis together, they're going to make pizza. Good chance not, you know.
Even if they do.
Yeah, that's another thing. But, you know, it would still be fun. You know, it's just like you have the big feast and there's got to be that little bit of, you know, pasta or something like that with mustard seeds or anything. Huh? Yeah, so, like that, you know.
Factual realization. Sometimes we use this word.
Factual, yes.
What's the meaning?
Factual means you actually are seeing the Lord. You actually realize the Lord. But it's not that you're projecting. It means the Lord reveals himself. Because your remembrance of the Lord is by his grace. Because he's knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So if you can remember, that's by his grace. And you can't remember, that's because it's... Is that... You know, because the Lord is a fact. That's real. The jiva is his part and parcel. The jiva is transcendental. These are all facts. Conditioning, technically, it's facts if you understand the nature of the universal form. But otherwise, what we think it is, that's illusion. Right? That's illusion. So that's the whole point. So much of the time when devotees talk about facts, those aren't facts. If you can't connect it back to the universal form, it's not a fact. Like that. That's the thing. Then you're dealing with illusion. If you can directly connect it to Krishna, then nice. But you have to know the science. Otherwise, how do you... You know, we turn to the West because it's scientific, but that's the whole point, is we can relate to that science, because it's not actually that scientific. Complicated makes it look, you know, makes everybody feel good. But the Vedic, this is science. This is real fine technical, but then that's all, oh, that's too technical. Oh, that's fanatic. But then we'll sit down and read a book on success. What's going on here? You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. So that's the modes of nature. Is that what it is? But because of lack of facts, we think it's not. So that's the point. As living entities, we're qualified to develop love of Godhead. By our conditioning, we're basically as far away as you can get. Like that. Yes.
Have you seen that is mentioned that the Krishna's method is also because of our desire has to be there for...
You have to be interested in it, otherwise why will Krishna give you something you're not interested in? Like just like this. Do you buy some gift for somebody that you know that they're not interested in? No.
you know, of course, unless you're a grandmother and it's a sweater, right? You know, okay, that's another thing. That's the thing, you should be interested. Yeah. But the thing is he only gives what you're interested in. But the thing is our interest, we don't understand that our interest includes the positive and negative. We think we're only interested in the positive, we'll only get the positive. But the positive comes with the negative. The house comes with the mortgage. You don't get the house without the mortgage. Yeah, the car comes with the need for putting petrol inside. You know? Babies are great, but they keep you up all night. Right? You understand? They go together. There's no such thing as the baby who you never have to deal with them, only when you feel like it and everything's perfect, and they just go on. They make their own bottle, change their own diapers. That's the point. It's like those Japanese robot dogs, you know, like that, yeah. Oh, you're saying that's Barbie. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah, that would also work.
Some of them.
Yeah.
And the flowers, you don't have to water.
Flowers, you don't have to water, yeah. Yeah, see, you know, there was in Calcutta one advertisement, yeah, right? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful as if, you know, you only had to water it once and then it would grow forever, right? You know, yeah. So that's what people are looking for. They're looking for what's not real.
That's an insurance company.
Yeah, which is also not real.
So let me leave the three in Krishna's mercy for mercy of Krishna comes.
It means, in other words, the more you're interested, the more you'll get. You want pure devotional service, then it comes quickly. You know, you're interested in so many other things, then, you know, it'll be slow. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, Krishna wants, but are you making the endeavor? You know, it's like that one joke that the guy is, forever trying to win the lottery, and he's complaining to God, you know, why is it I haven't won the lottery? You know, since I've been praying to you and all this for all these years, and I've never won the lottery. And God said, but you never bought a ticket. How do you win the lottery if you don't win it, buy a ticket? You know? So there has to be that endeavor, but that endeavor is what is coming down in Parampara, authorized by Guru Sadhana Shastra. Doing that, then through that, Krishna gives us mercy. Because the point is it's all about pastimes. It's not about situation or getting results. The point is it's about the interaction. And in that, you're interacting the situation to please another person. But it's about the present that you're always working in that mode. That's why it says the spiritual world is always in the mode, in the present. There is no future or past. Because it's all about working to please Krishna. Therefore, there's pastime. So it makes sense. That's why Govindaji is the prominent deity. Right? It means you're going to work, you need a situation, but it's about the work, not the situation. And by working, you'll get a result, but it's not about the result. So that's why Govinda is the central. That's why Vasudeva, he has all six qualities. The other positions have two. Is that okay? Yes.
So much. This would be what you mentioned a little bit before, the balance. One person is thinking only the endeavor without the dependence of Krishna, and the other is thinking only the dependence of Krishna.
Yes, yeah, that's a good point. Very good point, yes. Yes, yeah, so you get these two. It's that, no, it's my endeavor, you have to, like that. And the other one is, no, we'll just sit back and... Like, you so many times you go to you visit the Hindus in Calcutta and that. So when you're coming to Mayapur, when God, you know, wishes and all that, yeah, but you have to make the endeavor. But they always say, no, when God wants, you know. What is your son going to pass his exam? Oh, when God wants, no. They're out there, they got tutors, they got this, they got that. They're working. So that's the whole thing, is that It's not that the work itself, this is the seeming contradiction. It's you have to work to get the Lord's mercy, but it's not the work that gets the mercy. It's the attitude that you use in working that gets His mercy. So that's the...
Because we usually take the form, and then we think the form is what's giving the result.
Yeah.
The form is only leading to Jesus.
Yeah, that's all. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you call it? That one... how do you say, one member of the Roman Empire, when he visited Rome, and one of his friends at the house, because they had the aqueduct, so they had running water, he had a tap. And you could, you know, get water out of it. So he thought this was impressive. So without anyone knowing, he took the tap, you know. And so when he went back to his village, then he put it into the wall, but he couldn't figure out why there's no water. Yeah, so like that. So we think it's the form, but it's the Lord's mercy, it's the Lord's potency that makes it work. The tap's only a medium, you know. Yes?
It's the same that if someone speaks out loud, they're a bit mad. Like if you talk to Krishna out loud, is there some mad?
Point is it's about engaging everything in the Lord's service. So even if you're engaging madness, it's engaging the Lord's service and becomes perfect.
Okay.
See, it's talking out loud. The madness comes is that you're doing it when others are around. That's what's crazy. You know what I'm saying? If no one's around, who's going to call you crazy? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you go in and use the toilet, but you leave the door open. So what are people going to say when they walk in on you? You know, this is crazy. This is that. You know, you're uncomfortable. So they're going to say, but if the door is closed and locked, are they going to say you're crazy? So no, that's the whole problem.
That's why I'm explaining.
Okay, in Bhagavad Sandarbha, Anucheta 96, Srila Jiva Goswami explains the benedictions Brahmadev received after completing the penance ordered by the Lord, tapa tapa. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31, the Lord spoke of the four benedictions He granted Brahma even before He spoke, Chaturshloki. One, jnanam. By Krishna's grace, Brahma's heart was illuminated by God-given knowledge of Sambandha, the eternal truth that links individual soul and supreme soul. Two, you can already see this, now we've gone into this section, now it starts to get technical. Yes?
But Krishna asked Brahma what he wants. And even before he answered, he already started giving him.
But he's already shown, because the point is He's done all this so that He can create. So that's going to happen, but along with that, because He did it on the order of the Lord and everything. Oh, you have now I get it. Okay, now I got it. I didn't consider the fan in the equation. I was wondering, why the look? That's because where he's sitting, all the smoke goes up and then comes straight down. So I was wondering, is he really meditating on this? Did I say something and he's feeling bad about it? You know, I come in too much about the pizza. It's the smoke. Okay. Huh? Yeah. It's either you can breathe or you're cool. You're not gonna get both.
We have double benefit because no mosquitoes. Also.
That's true. Also, that's true. Also.
So we're suffocating, but no mosquitoes, yeah. And little wind.
Okay,
it's one against two.
Okay. You add up the balance, and it comes out. Okay.
Okay, but Jnana, by Krishna's grace, Brahma's heart was illuminated by God-given knowledge of Sambandha, the eternal truth that links individual soul and supreme soul. So all knowledge that anybody gets is from the Lord. Even the materialist, their mundane knowledge is coming by the Lord's grace. In other words, they have performed the appropriate activity by the laws of nature. And so because of this, they get the result of having that particular knowledge. But if they didn't do it in that right way, they don't get the knowledge. Like the general tendency, it means you see the general principle of getting knowledge, what's the process you get it through?
School,
study.
Experience.
Okay, experience. Now, let us say, okay, school, study, experience, teacher. Okay, so school, teacher. Okay, so you have a teacher, you have study, and you have practical application. Okay, now the person who goes to the school, listens to the teacher, goes home, does their homework, and then wherever possible tries to see how it applies in their life, do they get good grades?
Yes.
Okay, now what about the person who doesn't really care about going to school? If they're there, you know, they're off in some corner, you know, doing something you wish they weren't doing. And if they are in the classroom, they're generally texting or, you know, pinching, poking, or doing something stupid, ending up in the principal's office. Or even if they're there, they're just kind of there with a blank look because they don't do the homework and they'll never consider that they're going to use this. What kind of grades do they get? Yeah, not very good. So why is the one? Because studying means studying under a teacher and trying to contemplate and apply it. That's manana, right? You shravana, you heard, and manana, you contemplate. So they're doing that. That's why they're getting knowledge. So it's by the Lord's grace anyway. So everybody, it's all. So as we could say, okay, that's for the devotees, but for the materialists, no, it's exactly the same for everyone. Just for the devotee, he only, that means for the materialist, he only gets the particular material benefit, and that will also be temporary according to how much they've done. For the devotee, then it's eternal. And they have that benefit because there is the devotional aspect. You could have probably more fun if you wanted to stick the bucket right here. You know, just go straight up, come straight back down.
It's the channeling.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, plus it also, the fan would blow it out this way, you know, so then it would get rid of all the mosquitoes on that lower level. Might be interesting.
All right, yes. So on the point of the school, we see that current times, the students getting less from the endeavor. And before, in the 50s, had such a deep relationship of respect for the teacher and consideration.
Yeah, and you know what's the funny part is now when everybody's into nutrition, that who's giving an apple? Right before, when it was back when they didn't know about these things, you know, they were giving, you know, an apple. No, because there was respect. There was, it means the teacher was a respected person of the community. It wasn't just you didn't bother him when you were in his classroom. You met the teacher even on the street, they'd respect. Like I haven't seen lately, but before when you had the small boats where it was kind of a little bit more, you know, like that, you go to get on one of the boats from Navadvip, and then suddenly everybody would stand up or move because one of the local pundits, one of the teachers, is coming on a boat. So they all move to give him a place. But he's not teaching them, right? But he's respected as a teacher. So before, being a teacher was a respected position. Still didn't get you any money, but it was respected. Right, nowadays, you know, a little more money, less respect.
So you could see in that kind of much bigger refinement, even in a graduation level, which is, you know, people knew how to do lots of things. My father's time,
yeah.
Graduation, do they teach these kind of really?
No, it gets less and less and less. Like we said before, the medieval university BA was a 6-year course, you know, in logic, grammar, you know, rhetoric, you know, all the sciences were connected with math. So it means they learned astronomy, they learned music, they learned all these things. So that was just, that was not for occupation, that was just so that you were considered a cultured, educated gentleman. Then you had occupation after that. So now they try to combine the occupation with the bachelor's level.
You know, and then before it was, I mean, always before it was 4 years. Now 3 years is very common. You know, give it more time, it'd be 2 years. So like that. Two. Parama guhyam me yad vijnana. As this knowledge matures, realization of Krishna develops. So you have knowledge, you contemplate it, it gives realization. So jnana turns into vijnana. Right? So in other words, he got jnana, he heard, and then by contemplation, then it'll go into that. Three, samanvitam. This term means confidential goal and indicates prema bhakti, the prayojana, the tangible spiritual fruit of love of Krishna. That is the revelatory object of knowledge and realization. So tangible spiritual fruit. He's not just saying the fruit, or, you know, the other day, what was the term used? Abstract. Yeah, so it's not an abstract thing. This is tangible. Right? Because that's then how everything functions. It's based off of this pure love of Krishna. You know, so knowledge, realization, then love of God, and then four. Sarahasyam tarangam, the paraphernalia or practical means, abhideya, of tasting the prayojana sadhana bhakti. Right, so then here we have here, also we'll see that this goes through the chatur shloki. It's going through this. Knowledge about me is described in the scriptures is very confidential. And it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. So that's the point. Krishna's making the thing is, this knowledge has to be realized in relationship to devotional service. So manana, it has to be, the knowledge is applied. You can't just contemplate knowledge or just apply. You have to do both together. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. Right? So now to do the activity, or to have the knowledge in this paraphernalia, you may take it up very carefully. So with attention, with focus, not just haphazardly. Okay, so this is the method. This is success here. Taking it up very carefully. People do. The point is now, if I want people to come to the success seminar, then they have to have a strong sense of identity and sense of accomplishment. So that pride, that kind of thing is there. Am I going to bring out being about very careful? On certain levels I may say, pay attention to this, but I'm not going to talk about the mentality, because that mentality means I'm humble, I'm tolerant, I'm focused, it's not about me. You can't use that, but that's actually what makes it work. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.31. In this verse, the Lord says, please accept this transcendental Vedic knowledge. I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, am speaking to you. Others do not know this knowledge. End quote. The word parama guhyam here means this knowledge is most confidential than the knowledge of a personal Brahman. End quote. That is, that this is so is confirmed in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.14.5. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Because peaceful is that you're peaceful when there's no fear. And that comes when the identity is servant of Krishna. There's nothing to gain. If I don't want something, and I'm not looking for security in a material identity, I'm peaceful. Does that make sense? So when my position is connected to Krishna, and my goal is connected to Krishna, I'm peaceful. Is automatically the activity is connected. Right? Means when we say Vasudev, then where are the six qualities coming from? They're coming from the other three positions. Or you could say other two positions. Right? So that means that that position of your action is based on what is your situation and goal. Right? So if the situation and the goal are about Krishna, the activity will be about Krishna. Therefore, the devotee will be peaceful.
this. That's fine. Where is that? Where's the footnote? Oh, there it is. Oh, that's 32. Where was 31? Oh, there it is. Okay, they're both in the next thing. Okay, let's see.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaurakini.